angels on that trip on their way to Troas. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church today. Let's include them. Let's fill up a part of this thing. We're continuing again our series on practical Christian training from the church's first pastor. And here in James chapter 3, we are ending after last time we were in this passage. We were talking about the tongue and the dangers of it and the damage that it can cause and the blessing that it can be. But the truth of the matter is, all of this begins in our hearts. And it begins with the wisdom that we have within us. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we kind of see an extension of the passage on the tongue. Let's look at verses 13. Well, let's go back and... let's see here. Let's go to verse 6 and start there. But the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we see the dichotomy of the tongue. We want to say the right thing, but we don't always do that. And how do we change that? Let's go to these next verses that speak of wisdom that helps us to guide that little member in our mouth that causes so much trouble for us. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The title of the message today is The Way of Wisdom That Leads to the Path of Peace. If we understand this passage, I think it'll solve a lot of problems for us, prevent problems for us, as we deal with our tongue and as we deal with one another. Ken Collier at the Wiles Christian Camp and Conference Center down in North Carolina, he was up here not long ago for the banquet that they did up at the Wiles of New England. And he's famous for a saying that I think is pretty much depicted here in this particular passage of Scripture. He preaches it, and then he illustrated it very clearly in the one time when I was there at a conference, and on the shelf, or on the wall in the meeting room, they had just a single shelf. And on that shelf were two cans that they wrapped and put a label on the cans and illustrated his saying. Says, just two choices on the shelf, one can, and each can was labeled. Just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self, and that's the way he labeled those cans. And that's the way it is with our lives. We are either going to please God with the way we think and the way we act, the way we talk, or we're going to be pleasing ourselves. And the truth of the matter is when we do things the way God wants it to be done, there is peace and there is a contentment in our lives. There is a joy among us with other people. When we do this thing of living for ourselves and just saying what we want to say for ourselves and all we're thinking about is ourselves, there's all sorts of turmoil and trouble and difficulty that comes. It sums up that message here in verses 13 to 18. Verse 13 begins with a question here in this passage. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's the question. Basically, if we can put it in our modern vernacular, we say, how may we recognize the wise who dwell among us? How do we know who the wise people are? I'm not talking about wise acres. I'm not talking about wise crackers. I'm talking about wise people. People who are truly wise. And then this passage describes them. And it describes those who are not so wise. And then it describes not only the two different types of wisdom. There are two wisdoms in this passage. There's a human that's a false wisdom. It's a demonic wisdom. And then there is a heavenly wisdom. It's a true wisdom. It is one that pleases God. We need to make a choice on which one of these types of wisdom, philosophies of life. By the way, wisdom comes from a Greek word, sophia, which basically means it's a word that we use to describe philosophy, philosophy. And our philosophy of life and the way we live our life is going to be based on our view of wisdom, which wisdom we're going to follow, God's wisdom or man's wisdom. And then in this passage, not only does it describe the two types of wisdom, then it gives us the outcome of both of those types of wisdom. It tells us what happens with those who are worldly wise and those who are heavenly wise. So let's take a look at the passage, and I think that it can be of help to you. You see, there is a wisdom that comes from God, and that's very important for us to find. Let's go to Job chapter 28 for just a minute. Job chapter 28. Job was one of those great men of character, the Bible tells us about, a great father, a wonderful person for us to emulate. And here he says in Job chapter 28, beginning in verse 12, let's go there. Job asks the question, very similar to the question found in James chapter 3 and verse 13. It says here, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? How are we going to be wise? Where can we search for this thing? It says there, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. So we're not going to find it here on the earth. The depth saith, it's not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. You can spend all your life in college and education and getting doctorates and degrees and still miss out on wisdom. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, with the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. You can't buy it. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? He asks the question again. Seeing it is hid from the eye of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof. And he knoweth the place thereof. So if you want to find wisdom, you're going to have to know God. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. This is the thing that we need to grasp from this passage. Go back to James chapter 3 again. And we see the thing. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. People want to say, well, I'll find wisdom in other ways. I'll find wisdom by going to school. I'll find wisdom by reading books. I'll find wisdom in other places. I will write out my life philosophy, and then I'll live my life philosophy. Start with God. That's where you're going to find it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you want to make sure that you have this right relationship with God. That's the end. The Bible tells us when we get to James chapter 3 and verse 18, and the end of it says that the way of that man is peace. A man who is wise has peace. Are you full of turmoil in your heart? Are things happening there? Are you all upset about things? Or has somebody said something to you that just torn you apart inside? Are you all uptight about the way somebody else is treating you? Get back in a relationship with God, and He'll give you the strength to get through all that. We're going to see that as we continue looking at this. See, wisdom is found as we get in line with the God of the universe who created this whole thing.
we've got to fit into God's plan. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens." So this whole earth and the entire system is not going to be found with the environmentalists. The wisdom is not going to be found with the environmentalists. It's not going to be found with the politicians. It's not going to be found in other places. It's going to be found in getting to know the Creator who put all of this together. The Creator who put heaven together. The Creator who put earth together. He has a perfect plan. And if we want to get in line, if we want to have peace and joy in our lives, we've got to get in line with His plan. Doesn't make any sense to go any other way. I remember as a young man, getting ready to graduate from high school and trying to decide which way I was going to go with my life. There were people who said, take your talents and go into the business world or go into education or go into different things. Others said, go into the ministry. That's where God wants you. And I was rolling these things around in my head and trying to sort it out. And I didn't want to do it just because somebody said to do it. I really wanted to know God's mind in this thing. We've got a lot of young people in our church and then through the school who are in that same mode right now. They're sorting things out. I often have worked with young people and really between that age of about 16 and about 21, 22, there are so many major decisions they have to make. It's important that we point them to the way of wisdom and God's way. And I remember at that time I wrote a silly little poem, but it really made sense to me at the time and it came to my mind as I was going over this passage, studying it out. I wrote this little thing, a bird in the sea, a fish in the air, please let me be what God wants me to be. And it doesn't rhyme very well, but it was the little poem that stuck in my mind. The idea here is the idea of a bird, it might make it for a little while underwater. But it's not going to do well for long. And you take a fish out of the water and you put it up in the air and it doesn't do well for long. I've seen flying fish. You ever seen those? Out in Ponape Island, we were out in a boat taking off across and these fish would come out of the water and then jump back in, jump out and go back in. Really fun to watch. Beautiful. They're trying to chase the boat. You've seen porpoises do the same type of thing. But then I've also seen videos where the fish got into a frenzy. And the fish got to jumping out of the water, and I actually saw a video one time of a guy who was trying to fish, and the fish got into this swarming mode, and they were jumping out of the water and into his boat. And he was ducking fish as they were jumping in. And I can tell you, it didn't do well for the fish. And some of you are going to have a perfect demonstration of that this afternoon when you go for lunch. Fish out of water don't do very well. And so we're in this world that God created for us. And He had a plan and He devised a purpose for us. And He's created a heaven for us to head towards one day. And we're all heading towards that. God created us for heaven. And so when we don't do things God's way, we're headed like that bird underwater or that fish out of the sea towards nothing but trouble and turmoil and we are not going to do well. We need to get in line with God's plan. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish in hell. We're made for heaven, but if we reject His wisdom, we're doomed for hell. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you better understand that's the most important thing that you can do. That's the greatest source of wisdom that you can have is to find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. These other things that we talk about in James chapter 3 are really not going to make much sense to you until you've been regenerated and reborn and aimed towards heaven. You cannot force yourself without Christ to live the Christian life. If you're trying to live the Christian life and you're always finding yourself bumping your head and you're always falling down and you're working and you're just frustrated all the time, you better check to see if you're really saved. Because if you're saved, then you naturally tend to want to live the way of wisdom. There's a good passage of Scripture that talks about this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. As I was looking at this
this chapter came to mind. Proverbs chapter 8 that talks about wisdom. I'm going to read the entire Proverbs, the entire chapter here. Bob read some good verses on wisdom this morning as well. Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? See, it's very simple. God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to find it. He wants us to enjoy it. I've got this written out and broken down a little bit better here in my notes. Let me see if I can find that here. Not there. Let me just do it. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places by the way and the places of the path. This is as though she is a woman. Wisdom is a woman crying out. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired or not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass over the face of the earth, upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were in the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now listen to these two verses. For whoso findeth me, wisdom, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me, wisdom, love, death. Basically, what we're seeing here as we look at these passages, as we look at this section, is that those who don't get God's wisdom are working against themselves. They're putting themselves in jeopardy. They're not hurting anybody else, they may in the process, but the main person that they're hurting is themselves. You're missing out on the blessings of God when you reject His wisdom and choose human folly. I go back to James chapter 3 again. Let's look at this a little bit further. James chapter 3. That first 13. Again, the question, the King James says, who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? The ESV says, who is wise and understanding among you? The New American Standard says, who among you is wise and understanding? So we're really trained. Where's the wise person? Where are we going to find him? And the answer is part is found in the second part of that verse. The King James says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The ESV says, by his good conduct, let him show his good works in the meekness of wisdom. New American Standard, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. In another translation, I looked at it, just put this verse together in a way that I think is really a good capsule for that verse. It says this, if you are wise and understand God's ways, you will prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Then James goes on in verses 14 and 15 to describe earthly, or the way of human wisdom, this fake wisdom that this world lives by. The way people today in the marketplace, the way people at your work, people who do not know God, the people who run our television stations and all these situations, this is the way they live. It's a situation that's not good. You know, Solomon spent all of his life trying to find wisdom. And he said that there was one thing he wanted. God said, came to him, remember, in that dream and said, I'll give you anything you want when he became the king of Israel. And Solomon said, give me wisdom because I don't know how to lead these people. And God said, because you have asked for wisdom instead of riches, I'll give you the riches too. But the wisdom comes first. And then Solomon lived in wisdom for a while. The book of Proverbs is evidence of the wisdom that Solomon lived by when he walked with God. And then the book of Song of Solomon talks about the wisdom of a good marriage. When he was doing marriage with one wife the way God intended it to be. But then the Bible tells us that later on he took on more wives. He took on Pharaoh's daughter and he took on other women. And they became political wives that helped him along politically among the nations. And they turned his heart away from the wisdom of God and turned him away towards idols and that sort of thing. And that's when he wrote his third book. And we talked about this as I talked through the book of Ecclesiastes. And that is Wisdom Under the Sun. Wisdom as though God doesn't matter. I'm living by human wisdom is what Ecclesiastes is all about. And you know what the conclusion is that he comes to over and over and over again as he goes through Ecclesiastes. He says it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. This is what we're trying to drive home today. What is this worldly wisdom? James chapter 3 verse 14. It says there, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, this wisdom, that's worldly wisdom, descendeth not from above, doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Six things it describes here, this type of wisdom, the way people live without God. They're living for themselves. They're bitter, full of resentment. They feel like people are using them and abusing them, and they get angry at the world. Pay attention to what's being said on your television. Pay attention to what's being said in the news. Pay attention to those people who are leading our nation. They're a bunch of bitter, angry people. Envyings is another description that says here. Bitter envyings. What is that? It's jealousy. I want to be better than somebody else and I will climb over who I have to climb over to get there. And I don't want a God over me to tell me how to live my life. I'm jealous that God wants that authority over my life. I'm jealous that He wants to be my Lord. I'm jealous that I want that authority for myself. Bitter envyings and strife, it says. Strife, that is just selfish ambition. That is wanting nothing more than what I want. And it's this whole idea of getting to the top on your own, climbing over people, knocking people down, whatever it is, claw and scrape to get there. Verse 15 goes on and describes it. It says it's earthly. Earthly. That's the humanistic view. I am my own God. I don't need another God. I sure don't need the one of the Bible. I am the master of my own fate and I'm going to go the way I want to go. earthly, sensual. Why? You don't have to watch much television to know that that's what's going on. You don't have to be around many people. As Seth was talking in Sunday school this morning, talking about people driving up to the building he works in and wanting to tell him jokes, and he has to tell them, hey, is it a clean joke or is it a dirty joke? If it's a dirty joke, I don't want to hear it. And a lot of them just kind of look at him and stare and turn around and walk away. This is the way the world lives. Sensual, dirty, worldly, living for the flesh, unspiritual, no thought for Bible reading, no thought for church, no thought for prayer, no thought for godly music, no thought for witnessing and telling people about the Lord. Just living for food, a house, a car, clothes, stuff, and missing out what's really important in life. And the ultimate description of that life, the ultimate description of that human wisdom, is found at the end of verse 16, I think it is. Verse 15. It's devilish. Devilish. Like the devil. The real Greek word is demonic. A life that rejects God is just like Lucifer. Lucifer, who walked among the throne room of God, led in worship, and then raised up his head and said, I will be like the Most High. I will be the master of my own fate. And God had to cast the devil, a great angel, out of heaven. And he's spent all of the time since that day trying to pull the wool over the people of this earth to get them to be just like him. Sad to say, the majority of people in this world have followed him. And that's the direction this world is going without God. It's the way that rejects God. Look at Psalm 73. Now, sometimes, you know, we look at those people and we think, well, they're doing okay. I'm often reminded of something my father-in-law said one time. He said, before I became a Christian, I was out there in the world and I was driving trucks and working around farmers, and everybody seemed to be doing just fine, and we all got along real well. And everything was going real good. We were having a blast. He said, and then I went to church. And he said, and then I started seeing people fight among each other and call each other names, and churches split and trouble comes. He said, I never saw such mean people as what I saw at church. I thought, what, really? And that kind of fits along with what we see here in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verses 3 through 12. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Yeah, you look at those people, they look like they got all the money. They're driving their Rolls Royces, we're driving a beat-up pickup truck or whatever. They've got the latest fashion and we're just trying to find enough money to scrape up to get to the Goodwill store, you know. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, this people return thither, and waters of full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. You ever notice that? Everything seems to be going fine. They got plenty of money. They got barns full of stuff. They got houses full of stuff. They got all kinds of things. You know, they're not giving money to church. They're not spending their money there. They're not taking care of poor people. They're taking care of themselves, and they're enjoying life pretty well. Well, you know why that is? The devil's not bad for them. The devil's pretty pleased with them. They're going to be like that rich man in Luke chapter 16, I think it is.
who fared sumptuously every day while Lazarus, the Christian, ate crumbs from his table and his dogs were licking his sores. And then the Bible says the rich man, or Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. See, if you live for only this world, you're headed towards a real crash. You're headed towards a real disappointment, a sudden shock. Read a little bit further down here. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. Verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare thy works. Verse 26. My flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. So the idea here is there's a way of the world, a philosophy of the world that the people live by, and they think that they're going to succeed. It doesn't work that way. Go back to James chapter 3. We'll see the other side of wisdom, the other kind of wisdom. Verse 17. This is true wisdom. This is the wisdom that will lead to peace and satisfaction, not only in this life, but in the life to come. But the wisdom that is from above, this is heaven's wisdom, is first pure. First pure. Let's stop there. Actually, in the Greek, this sentence is divided into two different. I don't know what they call them, sections of some kind. And it stops right there. It says the first thing we need to have if we're going to be wise is purity. It's holiness. It is right living. It is a hatred for sin. It is a love for righteousness. If we want to be wise, we've got to be first pure. Remember, God created this world in His wisdom. And what is His wisdom? Who is God? The God who created this thing. He is the Holy One. He is the holiest of holy ones. He is the one who created it all and is pure and holy. And heaven's going to be that way. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. God's not going to let sinners into heaven. Because if He lets sinners into heaven, it'll be just like down here. And that's not what we need to aim for. So, if we want to have wisdom, we've got to be pure like God is pure. Purity should be, for the Christian, purity for the wise man is the default mode. We are revolted by sin. We are turned away by vulgar speech. We are turned away by immorality. We are turned away by the things that drag us down into this world. We've been born again to a new life of holiness unto God, dead to the old ways, and the desire to live it dead, to leave it dead. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm stuck here now. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, because I know one day I'm going to heaven. And I want to aim towards that. Galatians 2:20. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't look like that right now, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. So the number one thing that you and I need to be striving for if we want to be wise is a pure life. A life that's free from sin. We can't do this in our own strength. We need the Lord's help.
meet me in His Word. We're changed into His image as we look into His Word. We're washed in the Word, in the washing of the Word. You need to be in your Bible on a daily basis. You need to be reading it. You need to be praying it through. You need to be asking God to help you to comprehend it. And when you do, He changes you. You become like Him. It's an amazing transformation that can only happen when the Holy Spirit is working with you with the Word of God in your mind. What happens after that? Let's go back to James chapter 3, verse 17. When there is purity, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. You notice the wise people around you, they're this way. They don't like fights. They don't like arguments. They just live their lives purely. You disagree, well, they say, well, I'll pray for you. They go on. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Now look that word up. That's a hard one to understand. That's not one we use all the time. Look it up in several different ways. I've got it written down here. Easy to be entreated. One translation says that means compliant. Another translation says open to reason. Another one says reasonable. Another one says willing to yield to others. As I look at the Greek, the idea here is, yes, it's all those things, reasonable, compliant, willing to yield, but it's not willing to yield to others. It's eager to yield to God. Easily entreated. When God's Holy Spirit pricks your conscience and you're going in a wrong direction and you're heading towards something that's not pure, you're heading towards something that's not holy, something inside of you goes, oh, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And the person who is wise says, not only do I know it's wrong, I'm going to try not to do that. I'm not going that way. I'm going to make a choice to go the right way. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, easy to be led by the Spirit of God, full of mercy, not angry with people and condemning people and quick to judge people, but quick to find a way to help them. And good fruits, a good harvest. There's a blessing around you. There's a joy around you. There's a desire. People want to be around you. And without partiality, with total fairness, it's no prejudice. You're not prejudiced against people because of their race or their skin color or their gender or things like that. You know, when you point out people's sin, it's not because you don't like it. It's because I'm being impartial here. God's Word says do it this way, don't do it that way. I am not a hater of homosexuals. But I do say that's what God says is wrong. I'm not a hater of rock and roll stars, but when I look at God's Word and I see the way they live, I say, that's not right. I'm not a hater of adulterers, or liars, or thieves, or angry people, or disobedient people. I'm not a hater of those people. A wise person looks at them and is, how can I find mercy for them? How can I aim them towards God? They're headed towards judgment, and I want them to know the gospel so they can be changed and transformed and saved from their sin. And it's not about what I think. And it's not about the way I've been taught. It's not about what my church says. It's not about what my parents said. It's not what the rules are. It's what God says. Because we've been created unto good works. We've been created for heaven, not for hell. And if they keep going that way, they're headed towards trouble. And I need to tell them so they can be changed. Without partiality, and it ends there, verse 17, without hypocrisy. That's a big one, I hate to say it, among Christian people. We say we know what's right. We say we want to live pure. We go to church. We read our Bibles. But sometimes we're not always living up to what we know. We need to ask God to help us to be there. When we are real, that word's hypocrisy. Look it up there.
without partiality, without hypocrisy, without favoritism, without hypocrisy, impartial, sincere, unwavering, without hypocrisy, shows no favoritism, always sincere. Ultimately, what we're saying here is a wise person is real. They're the real deal. How many of you know a real deal Christian? You do. You sense them. You see them. You know who they are. They're honest. They're open. They're trying to live their life. When they do sin, they admit it. They confess it. 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As believers, we're in this world and we're going to fail. We're constantly tempted. We're constantly drawn away by our flesh. But our spirit says, I want to soar towards heaven. And when we sin, we go to the Lord about it. So, the two wisdoms. You've got the worldly wisdom that has a bitter, envying, strife, earthly, sensual, devilish. You got the heavenly wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, what is the end of these things? Where is this going? Verse 16 tells us where earthly wisdom is going. Where it always ends up. This is the fruit of living that type of life. Bitter, envying, strife, earthly, sensual, devilish. 16 says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There's confusion. That has its root in the word rebellion. There's a rebellion against God. There's a rebellion against the rules. There's a rebellion against authority. There's a rebellion against anything that's right. I'm not going to do it that way. And it says every evil work, every kind of evil work. Immorality, lying, deception, stealing, cheating, you name it. Somebody's living that, that's where they're going, and the end of all of that, the ways of death. But then we go into verse 18 and we see what the end of the righteous life is. The end of the godly wisdom is. Verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The idea here is there's a harvest of righteousness when we live the wise life. It's in our own life. We personally are becoming more like the Lord. But there's also this idea of sowing something. You see, as we live a righteous and a holy life, we are sowing seeds of righteousness in other people. And other people around us, when we're living this godly life, when we're living this holy life, when we're truly being heavenly wise, we will see people come to know the Lord. It's the outcome. It's a natural outcome. Spiritual people have spiritual babies. We'll see people saved. We'll see people grow. We'll see other people around us who observe our wisdom and follow our wisdom as we have opportunity to teach and influence our children, to influence and teach other Christians as we have opportunity to live the life before others. They'll catch on. Have you ever been around somebody like this? And you say, boy, I want to be like that, don't you? Because you see the gentleness. You see the peace. One of the most consistent men I ever saw in my life, in the Christian life. Drove me crazy to drive behind him in a car. I mean, I went to Guam. The speed limit 35 miles an hour. The whole island. That's just wrong. Especially when you drive a little red sports car like I did at the time. It's just wrong. And I'd get behind Floyd Holmes, missionary for 32 years in Africa, then missionary in the island of Palau, and then came to Guam and helped get a Bible Institute started. That dude never passed 35 miles an hour on that road. And I wanted to pass him, but I knew I couldn't do it because Mr. Keith saw me. But consistent, gentle, kind, over and over again, people would just talk about him and say, him and his wife, Frances, what loving people. Last time I saw him,
they had retired. And they had both of their mothers living in their home. He was pastoring a little church in North Carolina. I don't even know if he's still alive. But mom and dad were up. Their moms, both of their fathers had passed, but their mothers were living with them, and they were still caring for these people who were basically living in a vegetative state, a back bedroom in their home. And they never complained. They cleaned them up. They fed them. They took care of them. They got them to the doctor. They were up in their 70s themselves at the time. They were still caring, loving, gentle, godly people. And their life still influences me when I think of them. Do you have that type of wisdom? Are you like the Lord? Are you saved? Are you living for Him? You will be blessed when you live God's way of wisdom. You will have great peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown of peace, in peace, of them that make peace. Get rid of the turmoil in your life. Live this wise, holy life. Be like God. And you will be blessed. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Help us to examine our own hearts, to be honest about the way we're living. Are we truly wise, or are we living worldly wise? Or we want the peace of God in our hearts. Help us to know, and really know, in our hearts, that we can only find that as we walk with you and become like you. Give us that desire. We pray these things in Jesus' name.